Hello and welcome to iVow. I'm Jenny Prisk, the founder and president of Voices of Women, and we are honoured and delighted to have an interview with four women peacemakers who in October and November 2015 are in residence at the University of San Diego's Institute for Peace and Justice that was founded by Joan B. Kroc. And across the table from me right now, I'm delighted to welcome to the program Judge Najla Ayoubi of Afghanistan. She is a lawyer, a human rights activist, and a former judge who has been highly instrumental in promoting women's empowerment, civic education, and transparency. So Najla, welcome to our program.
Thank you so much. I'm also glad to be part of this program
today. Thank you. Thank you. So you are here at the IPJ, the Institute for Peace and Justice, as a peacemaker. What does that mean to you in all its versions, especially as they relate to you, your life, and your work in Afghanistan?
I know it's a difficult question, but peace or peacemaking, particularly the word of peace, is, for me, it means love, non-violence environment, and also the welfare of the people who can live together, particularly for the people who can live together in a more peaceful manner, which is, again, in being love, accept each other, tolerate each other, with all of the differences that we are having in our societies. That I could call it peace. In my life, I'm very open to any, what it's called, any people who have different views, different faith, different opinion. That's something that I call it peace, and it doesn't mean that you have to, confront people because of their views or fight with the people because of their views and use the weapon against somebody. There is possibility of dialogue, there is possibility of discussions, there are because we are human at the end of the day. That's something.
We are. And I just like to stay on that point that you made about having dialogue with others who may not share your point of view. Where did you learn to do that?
Actually, professionally, I'm a lawyer, you know. But at the same time, when you go through such a bad experience in your life, particularly in my life, I lost my father, I lost my brother, I lost most of my property 4 or 5 times or maybe more than that, I can count them. But at the end of the day, you can see that, you know, always there is not only one way to fight. There is other ways to talk to the people. Maybe they have their own reasons. I mean, they have their own arguments why they're not in agreement with you and with your opinions or with your faith or with your beliefs. But that's something that I found based on my experience losing my father and my brother. And I thought, okay, you know, this is something that if you do the same to other people, you know, there are people that they may lose. And you cannot be always on the loose. There are other ways to gain, which is the life, which is the love, which is the discussion, understanding, and tolerance.
That's a very peaceful way of looking at life, especially in the face of all that loss that you have suffered, because there are many in our global community who would take the other stance and think that an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and you have not chosen that perspective. So how long have you been an activist? I know that you're a lawmaker, but you certainly are a human rights activist. When did that start?
Actually, I was from the I was very very active even in the school, because I'm one of those, I'm not saying people will call naughty girl what it's called, naughty girl, but it's not in a bad way. It's from the positive perspective.
You were a rebel.
I was.
Oh, yes.
And I was trying to just make sure that I'm active in the society, how I can describe the injustice even from my childhood, from when I was in the school. I was playing in dramas, and I was playing in dramas roles, and particularly looking at the I was more playing the role of looking at the social injustice in Afghanistan, in my community, and poverty was part of it. How the differences between the poor families and the rich families, and how those people are suffering. These are kind of the lack of opportunities that they may have in future development. These were kind of, maybe that time I was not understanding that level that I am understanding now, but I could see myself even those days. In those days that I have been active. But particularly I was very active when I started being a judge in the court. I could see how even me being a judge, a female judge, mm-hmm. I am applying the laws that it's even those providing injustice among the human in my society, particularly to the female member of the society. That's why I had to think very deep. Things were very easy before I came to the judiciary. I was thinking everything is perfect, everything can be perfect. But when I came and I saw injustice within the system, that's why I thought, okay, no, this is not me. And particularly when I lost because of political views or because of social status of ours, I lost my father and my brother. I thought that's something, and being under the political pressure at that time, that's why I was thinking, okay, you know, I was the one that pushing myself and my family, of course, all of us, pushing ourselves how to get out of the situation. And later on realized, because no one was around us to support us. But now when I came an activist, because I thought, okay, there was no one which I needed, somebody around me to give me a moral support, social support or political support. But now I'm in a position, I have gone through all of those problems, but I'm in a better position in the society, in my country, in not country, but also regionally and globally. That's why this was one of the reasons that I'm always telling people, whenever you think that you need me, I'm there. Mm-hmm. And that's why it made me, me as a high level of commitment to do something for others. Mm-hmm. Because the time I was needed, in my family were needed, we didn't have that. That's why I feel so passionate about and so my heart is in this work, because I think it's very important for me to be beside of someone who he or she is really suffering from losing or always they are on the lose. Mm-hmm. How I can support them to, at least somehow I could support them. That's why I become more human rights activists and women's rights activists, particularly looking at the imbalance of, unfortunately, equality in all of these things in my society.
And unfortunately, I think many of us now who follow the news, especially in your country, Afghanistan, we understand that there is quite a difference between the equality, and so having someone like you fighting for the women as well as for all people in your country is vitally important. You touched on a point about injustice, and I just wondered, are you able with your, I know you have a great gift of words, I know you are a very driven woman and a very passionate woman, how do you get governments to listen to your ideas for peace and reconciliation? And if they don't, who are these support groups that you turn to move things forward?
I know that most of the people will say that this is difficult, but for us it's easy, because we know every day the government does not agree with our opinions and with our not, of course, in certain levels. Actually, what I'm doing along with my other Afghan sisters and brothers, particularly in this in the civil society, we are mobilizing all the civil society activists and actors women's groups, men's groups, human rights groups, and all of these people. We are very bringing a unite voice and going to the government, particularly on different levels, trying to do more advocacy around the issues that women are not incorporated or they're not included. That's something that we are always doing. But when it comes to when they're not listening, there are lots of other ways, like going to the media, doing a media advocacy, going to the international community where they are supporting our government. We are going to the United Nations. We are sending the open letters or the statement officially. We are making press conferences and inviting the media, not nationally, internationally, because this is also, we can see that another way of pressurizing the government. But at the same time, we have, I'm part of the network, which I'm proud of being part of the network. It's called Women's Regional Network. Mm-hmm. We are working for with the women and for the women in Afghanistan, Pakistan, and India. And I think this was a very interesting experience that last year we had to come and do international advocacy around the research that we have done about the impact of insecurity, corruption, and militarization of the aid on women's lives in these three countries. And then this was the first time ever we had the voice of our sisters from the region, from other neighboring countries, that they supported the position and the voice of Afghan women. When we had a very long, I think this was 1 or 2 weeks, advocacy in Washington, D.C., we went to meet everybody in here, start from Pentagon to Home Office to Senate to media to civil society and all of us. This is also kind of another way of how you can bring and you can unite voices, not only within the country, but also out of the country. And that's something that in most of the cases that it's working. It is working.
Excellent. That's good news. And more work to come, no doubt.
Exactly.
And in light of that, as a woman who has established her career and risen right to the very top of that career, do you have in your ranks young women that you are mentoring now who are seeing the power and the importance of this advocacy that you're helping to take to the positions that ultimately one day you may leave?
One thing I would like to mention that it's very important. I do believe on the energy and the ability of the young generation in my country and everywhere in the world, because they are the one that they are bringing the difference. They are making difference. And I'm very proud of our Afghan youth groups in Afghanistan. And because in Afghanistan we have 60 to 70% of our population is youth. And we are very youth population, very high, and they are all between 15 to 25 age, and it's very young. That's why, you know, I know that I cannot carry this work forever, and I may not have enough energy because I'm getting old. That's something. That's something that it's very important for me. I had the privilege of being a mentor for a group of young men and women coming. We call it. This was a program that was supported by USAID with an international counterpart. International, they were doing, and I was the one that, as a leader in the civil society, that program was called Civil Society Emerging Leaders, which I was supporting them in different fields that they were working, and I had to give them a text whenever they had to think about what they need, particularly how to establish an organization, how to establish a network, how to go and develop those networks, and how you can be connected with these. And particularly in our work, now we are working on the through the Women's Regional Network, we are at the middle of our scoping studies, that we are doing a scoping study that if we can... as a result of the scoping studies, we are going to establish Women Human Rights Regional Tribunal in the region. That's why we really need most of the young generation to be part of this program, particularly for the connection and for connecting collecting the information from the ground, and then how we can start doing this work.
So this will be a very powerful new organization, the Tribunal, with a lot of promise attached. At Voices of Women, our mission is about the power and importance of education for women and girls. We've heard and we've learned that when women and girls are educated, communities and countries can be changed. What do you say to that? Is there hope and leadership promise for the women of Afghanistan?
I think we are very good on that, because now we have, before war, we had only 100,000 girls were going to the school. Now 7.5 million kids are going to the school. 38 to 40% of them are girls. For me, education is very important, and it is a very driving scale, or what you call it.
Scale is correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because for me, education is important, because education is the key, which definitely drives you, or maybe make you economically empower, which you will be having a very good economic status. And then leadership, which is, of course, something that will drive you to the leadership. And independency.
Mm, yes.
I believe on education. And I'm a result of education.
You are.
My work is a result of education.
Yes, yes. And you also provide education, so you're on both sides of that spectrum. Now, in America, when we think about Afghanistan, we think of a war-torn country, and much of which has been interfered with by other governments, outside governments, over the years. We've just got 2 or 3 minutes left. Could you paint a picture of the Afghanistan you know and love? Terrain, culture, that sort of thing.
Actually, Afghanistan is a very beautiful country. The people are beautiful. I'm not biased because I'm Afghan. Because I can see how we have beautiful people. I'm not talking from the face perspective, but also from the heart, how they are beautiful, and they are very peaceful. But sometimes, you know, it's very difficult because of lack of illiteracy, and also lack of opportunities, economic opportunities that we have, unfortunately. We are, most of our people are abused of the other nations, particularly our neighboring countries. But the culture is beautiful. We are very hospitable people, and I'm sure that some people will see the hospitality around me, inshallah, soon. And at the same time, it's a country that can bring more good stuff to the world rather than only violence or only distraction. We deserve, Afghan people, we deserve to be live in a more peaceful environment, which we really needed. And we all tired. I mean, I'm tired. I grew up in a war. I lost most of my beloved ones and things that it's really, really important in our lives. But unfortunately, I never had a chance of seeing peace in my country. Not only me. I don't care about myself. I'm thinking about our future generation, how they may live in this world if all of these things could go and happen.
So, on a final note, you're in America for these 2+ months, and I know it's not your first trip here. You've been here before. What do you want to leave our listeners with regard to how we as Americans can view Afghanistan, and what, if anything, we can do to help to work towards the peace in your country?
Thank you. There is one more thing that I would like to mention is the you can do that, at least pressurize your government for making some good policy towards their international policy towards Afghanistan. Because the American people, they lost their blood. They give the blood of bringing peace in Afghanistan and leaving us alone again. And we will be again falling in the civil war. Otherwise, we have a very good young generation, educated generation, that they really wanted to work in the country. We have supports. We have so many gains that in the past 10 years. We have women representation. We have 4 women ministers now. Mm-hmm. Which country have? In developed countries, you don't have. But we don't want all of these gains to be removed. I think that's something that we... I would like to just leave this message to you, if you can... Please pressurize your government and policymakers how they can help us and continue their support for Afghan people
and to find future. And to find peace in your time.
Exactly.
Thank you. Well, Judge Najla Ayoubi, it's been a pleasure, and thank you so much for visiting San Diego, California, and for joining us at iVow today.
Thank you so much for this opportunity.